Good morning. How you guys doing? I was just looking up at the photo of me on there before, and I said to Kane, who is that clean-shaven fella up there on the screen? I don't even recognize him anymore. Well, it's such a joy to be here. Thank you, pastors, for having me come and minister to you guys this morning. Yeah, we had a really amazing night on Friday. Who was there? Give me a wave. Who was there Friday night? Was that a good night or what? It was powerful, wasn't it? God was moving. The Holy Spirit was moving, and we just had such a wonderful time. And I'm loving being up here in Mackay. You know what? It's actually 20 years to the month that I was last in Mackay. It's a little bit significant there. As you know, I was unplanned. I wasn't planning on making it so. 20 years to the month. So, I'm from the Gold Coast. Actually, when people ask me where I'm from, I tell them I'm from heaven. You know, where are you from? I'm from heaven. They look at me very strangely, as you can imagine. But I'm from the Gold Coast, technically. But the sun's, it's golden down there. The sun's shining. But I tell you what, your sun up here has a bit more of a bite. So I was trekking around Mackay yesterday, and I got a little pink. That might be if I'm glowing this morning, it's either my skin because of the sun, or maybe it's just the glory of God. So if I start sparkling, it's probably God's glory. If I just look like a lobster, it's the Mackay sun. But it really is a blessing to be here with you guys today. God is going to be moving this morning. God is going to be doing miracles. The people in here, that you're going to walk out of this place different to when you walked in here this morning. So I have a few words of knowledge that the Lord has already given me, and we're going to minister to people in a minute. But just so I know and I can honor the team here, it is 10:15. What time am I finishing up here this morning? Okay, sure, okay. All right, so I'm going to preach and pray for people this morning. It's always a danger when you give a preacher a microphone if you don't give them an end time, because I'll just preach until sundown if you let me. Actually, it reminds me of a time I was in Papua New Guinea. Is it okay if I just share a couple of stories with you guys? I was sharing with Kane yesterday when I was laughing about my skin. One time I was in Papua New Guinea, and I was doing a crusade there. And one day we went out into the slums. It was a town called Mount Hagen. Has anyone ever been to Mount Hagen in this room before? So we went down to the slums, and we're chatting to the rascals down there. We're praying and ministering to people. And it was a hot day. It was scorching hot. And I got back to my hotel room, and I was a little bit sunburned. Actually, I was badly burned. I kind of looked like your shirt there, sir, in the third row. I was a little bit darker than a lobster that day. And I looked in the mirror and I said, no way. I was down there preaching the gospel. I'm not going to accept this sunburn. I prayed for myself, went to bed, woke up, and I looked lily white again in the morning. So praise God for that. But that was a wonderful trip, powerful trip. I've been to Papua New Guinea, I believe it's been 3 times, done 2 crusades there, and seen the Lord do some wonderful things. So my name's Josh Wood. I have a beautiful wife, Elise, and 2 boys, Harry and Elijah. And you can have a little chuckle at that when we tell people we have an Elijah Wood. They think that we named him after the movie star, but we didn't. just for the record, in case you were wondering. But we live on the Gold Coast, and we have the honor and privilege of just seeing God do some wonderful things. So up until about 12 years ago, I wasn't in the best of places. I was in a place of deep depression. I was having thoughts of ending my own life, and I kind of lived this life. Even though I grew up in church, been to church my whole life, my life was like a roller coaster. When things were going good, I was going good. When things were bad, I wasn't doing too good at all. And sometimes we can believe this lie that that's normal. You know what? Jesus Christ is the most normal Christian who ever lived. When you see Jesus, you see normal. When you see Jesus, you see the life that you and I were born and created to live. It's amazing the things that Jesus went through, even when he was being beaten, even when he was being crucified. He hung on the cross and he cried out, "Father, forgive them." You know, the reality is that if we're really honest, some of us, we might be driving down the road going to work and we get a flat tire and our whole world crumbles. God, where are you? I thought you loved me. How did you let this happen to me? So I was in that kind of a place, and I cried out to God at the start of 2009, and God came and just set me free from me, brought me into the kingdom. I went from being a follower of Jesus to being discipled by Jesus. I wasn't trying to get into ministry. I wasn't trying to become a pastor or anything like that. I just wanted to get free. And Jesus came and set me free. And in the last 12 years, he's taken me around the world. And once upon a time, I couldn't even help myself. Once upon a time, I couldn't even help myself through the day without struggling, without striving, without falling flat on my face. And in the last 12 years, not by any work of my own, but by the work of the Holy Spirit, we've seen the Lord do thousands of miracles, signs and wonders. Thousands of people get saved to the point I'm spending hours in the river baptizing, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people. And I believe God is going to do some amazing miracles today. Can I share a few recent miracles that we've seen the Lord do just this year? Here's just a couple from this year. Earlier this year, I was down in Bendigo in Victoria, and I did a healing workshop down there. One thing that I love is to see the saints activated. You know, Ephesians talks about the fivefold ministry. It doesn't say we have the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. It doesn't say that they exist to do all the ministry. It says that they exist to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So if you're a saint here this morning, then the role of your leadership is to equip you for the work of the ministry. So I love to equip the body, equip people to walk in freedom, walk in signs and wonders. And so we did a healing workshop down in Bendigo, and I just love to just train people up and let them loose and minister to one another. And there were some outstanding miracles. It was just a few months ago now, earlier in the year, prior to all the, you know, when there was a gap in the crazy lockdowns there. And there was a man who came in, and 41 years prior, He was a farmer. 41 years prior, he had a tractor accident, and it totally debilitated him, damaged his spine, and he had not been the same for 41 years. That's a long time. So some of us, many of us in this room, probably haven't even been alive that long. 41 years, he got miraculously and completely healed that day after receiving prayer. There was another young lady, I believe she was about 19, she was born with some kind of a condition. I don't know the name, so forgive me, I'm not a doctor. Some kind of a condition affecting her heart, and it had to do with blood flow. And her whole life, she hadn't been able to run without feeling like she was going to pass out because of the lack of blood flow to her brain, that kind of a thing. She got prayer that night. Her entire life, born this way, she got prayer, felt like, oh my gosh, something's happened in my body. She went and she ran and she did a lap around the block and came back into the church and testified about what had taken place. Brand new heart that day. It was incredible. There was another man, a pastor from Gisborne in right near Melbourne there, and he also had a business where I believe he was like doing construction or landscaping, that kind of thing, and he had damaged his right hand at work, and I believe it was about 2 years prior to this point in time. And he hadn't been able to make a fist for 2 years. So he told me that, you know, it was very embarrassing. People want to shake his hand. And he actually said, you know, I won't tell you the expression he used because it might be taken the wrong way. But basically, he just felt like, you know, embarrassed that he would shake people's hand and wouldn't be able to grip the hand or anything. And that night, he was completely radically healed. He was making a fist and then he shook my hand. I thought he was going to break it. I thought that I'd need healing prayer after that as well. So that's just a few things just from one trip. But, you know, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, the Bible tells us that. And what he's done yesterday, he's going to do today, and he's going to keep doing. He's always in a good mood. And just to start off today, we're going to turn to the Word of God, and we're going to start off in John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Just as you turn there, we might just start in verse 1. We're going to start in John chapter 1, verse 1. So John is it's probably my favorite gospel. No, actually, Matthew maybe is. No, they're all my favorite gospel. But John chapter 1, I'm super passionate about this chapter. I love it. It's so incredible. You can see here how we're going to start off in verse 1, how it mirrors the creation story. And so we're going to start off in verse 1. I'm reading out the New King James. Virgin, my preferred version, I affectionately called the New King Jimmy. And in verse 1, it says this, "In the beginning was the Word," see that with a capital W, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He was in the beginning with God. Just pause there for a second. Remember in the beginning, God said, "Let us make man in our image." And in the likeness of God, he made man. It's such a mystery about the triune nature of God that the Word was both with God, but also the Word was God. It says here in verse 3, "All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Just pause there for a minute. Just think about that. What was the very first words out of God's mouth at creation? Who can shout it out to me? What did he say? Let there be light. The light shines in the darkness. The New King James says, "And the darkness did not comprehend it." I want to tell you, in the Greek, that word there, comprehend, literally means overcome. So some of your Bibles, might be a few different translations in the room. Some translations translate that verse like this: "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it." The Bible has told us that light is greater than darkness. Who believes that? If we were in this room tonight, I'm sure there's a few exit lights that would be shining, but if we were in this room midnight tonight, you had all the lights switched off, the room was in complete darkness. Darkness filled the room. Someone goes to the light switch, flips it on. What happens to the darkness? Has anyone ever been in a dark room and you flip the light switch on and half the room stays dark and the other's lit? That's ridiculous. Has anyone ever seen you flip the light switch on in the middle of the night and you see darkness and light trying to fight as to what's going to fill the room? No. Why? Because light is greater than darkness. In fact, darkness isn't even a thing. Darkness is just the absence of light. That's why the Lord said, "Arise and shine, for your light has come." Isn't it amazing that God didn't say through the prophet Isaiah, he didn't say, "Arise and reflect." He said, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people, but my light, my glory shall be seen upon you." So right now we can look around the world and, you know, if we're really honest, we're living in a pretty dark time. There's lots of crazy stuff going on out there. But the reality is that as dark as things might seem, darkness is inferior to the light. If things look dark, what is the solution? If the room is in darkness, how do we see? We just turn on the light. Jesus taught his disciples to pray. We call it the Lord's Prayer. Really, it was the disciples' prayer. He said, "In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done." Where? On earth as it is in heaven. Did you know that you and I are supposed to be the fulfillment of that prayer? On earth as it is in heaven. If there's a lot of darkness out there, the reason is because there's an absence of light. If there's darkness out there, maybe it's about time that we arose and shone the glory of God and filled this earth with his brightness, with his glory. Verse 6 says this here, that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. So this is John the Baptist. "This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light," capital L, "that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light." There's that word, it's a bit of a tongue twister, isn't it? Light, light, light. "Which gives light to every man coming into the world." So we're looking here at capital L. We looked at a capital W, the Word. It's not a thing, it's a person. His name is Jesus. And here we're looking at light. Light isn't a thing, light is a person. You know, John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one comes to the Father except through me." You know, the reality is that truth isn't information. Truth is a person, and his name is Jesus. Light isn't a thing, light is a person, and his name is Jesus. See, if truth is something that you have, you can run out of it, or there can be an end to what you have. It's like money. If money is something, if wealth is something that you have, if you give enough of it away, sooner or later you're going to run out of it. But if wealth is who you are, you're never going to run out of it. Truth isn't something that Jesus has, it is who he is. It's impossible for his light to ever diminish. So the Bible says that his kingdom knows no end, that we go from glory to glory to glory to glory. It just gets better and better. Where were we? Verse 10 says this about the light, about the word of God, Jesus Christ. It says that he was in the world and the world was made through him and the world did not know him. Think about that. He came to his own. Who was his own? The Jewish people. He came to his own people and his own did not receive him. He created everything that was made. He created these people. They knew him. They had the law and the prophets, but they were so far removed from their original created value that they didn't even know God when he was walking in their midst. They didn't even recognize him. They did not know him. Verse 11, he came to his own and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Isn't it amazing here? It says that if we receive him, that he gave us the right. You know, in the Greek, that word's exousia. It's actually the same word that's translated as authority. It can also be translated privilege. So we can look at it like this, that if we receive Jesus, he's given us the right, the ability, the authority to become something. Did you see that? Did you see that? It doesn't say this, that if we receive Jesus, he's given us the right to one day go to heaven when we die. It doesn't even say that if we receive Jesus, that he's given us the right to have our sins washed away. That's all good and that's all a part of the gospel. But the emphasis of the gospel in the gospel is that Jesus came so that you and I could become sons and daughters of God. The reality is that in so many ways we've reduced Christianity to praying a prayer to go to a place called heaven when we die. And then we find ourselves living like hell or a roller coaster of a life until the day that we die. We find ourselves looking around at the darkness around us, huddling in the corner, hanging on tight, waiting in desperation for Jesus to return when God has told us to go into all the world and to trample darkness. It says that he's given us the right to become something. Romans chapter 8 tells us that all of creation is groaning and travailing, waiting for the manifestation, the revelation, the revealing of the sons of God. Friends, do you realize that all of creation is waiting for the day that we step into the fullness that Jesus has acquired for us? But if we're honest with ourselves, many of us struggle just to get through the week. To them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name. Look what it says. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You know, there's a progression in life that takes place. See, once upon a time, like I said, I couldn't even get through a day without struggling, without striving, without falling and tripping up in different ways. And I get to bed each night, put my head on the pillow, and I would do everything for myself, trying to fill the void in my life, even though I love Jesus, even though I could pray in tongues, even though I knew that if I died, I would go to a place called heaven. The reality is that I wasn't living heaven right now. You know, it's true that when we die, we get to go to heaven. But do you realize that when we are baptized into Christ is the moment that we actually die? So many of us are waiting to go to heaven, but the gospel is all about heaven coming into us. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. John chapter 3, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. He's talking about being born again. In John 3:6, Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit, capital S, is spirit. Like I said, once upon a time, I couldn't even help myself. And in the last 12 years, I've seen Jesus do crazy, crazy things through my life. The reality is that if we don't know who the Father is, if we don't see that Jesus Christ is the truth about the Father, then we can't see the truth about who we are. If we don't know who our dad is, if we don't know the one that we've been born of, and we don't see him clearly, then we're not going to understand who we are. The reality is that we live out and we reveal the God that we believe in. In John chapter 14 there, when Jesus is talking to the disciples, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Philip goes on to say to him, Lord, but we don't know the way. We don't know where you're going. How can we follow you? Philip goes on, he says, Lord Jesus, show us the Father. We want to see what God looks like. We want to see what the Father looks like, and then we'll be happy. Show us the Father, and it will be sufficient for us. We'll be happy then. Jesus turns to Philip, one of his closest, who he'd lived with for 3 years on the earth. Jesus said to him, Philip, have I been with you for so long and yet you don't know me? He who has seen me has seen the Father also. So how can you say, show us the Father? Jesus Christ, his life lived, his teachings, when God put on flesh and walked the earth, this is what the Father looks like. The words in red, the most powerful words to ever have been uttered on the earth. The reality is that if we believe in a God that doesn't look like Jesus, then we ought to reevaluate what it is we believe about God. Jesus Christ is the manifestation. Colossians tells us he's the image of the invisible God. He's the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. If we have a question about the person of God, the nature of God, the character of God, or even God's will in any situation, if we have a question about it, it can be answered in the person of Jesus Christ. If we believe something about God that doesn't line up with Jesus, then friends, we really need to reevaluate what it is that we believe. So Jesus Christ is the truth about the Father, but he's also not just the Son of God, but he's the Son of Man. He wasn't just God, 100% God, but he was also 100% man. Jesus Christ wasn't just the truth about the Father, but he is also the truth about who we were created to be. Romans chapter 8 tells us, it says that he is the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus Christ, he says here that if we've been born of God, of God's Spirit, the reality is that according to heaven's eyes, we look just like our Father. If I had my family up here this morning, I had my wife, had my two boys, and we stood up here on the stage, you could look at them and go, oh, this one looks more like his mom, that one looks more like his dad, no, that one's got his dad's eyes, that one's whatever. Of course they do. They look like us because they're our children. They come from us. But they're a mix of my wife and myself, our DNA, to make up who they are. In the Spirit, we come from one. The Bible tells us that we've been born of God. So that means this, that if you were standing in heaven next to your heavenly Father and you were looking in a mirror, you would look just like your Father. The problem is that not many of us see ourselves in that way. The reason why the devil hates us so much is because every time he looks at us, all he sees is Jesus. Jesus said in John 14, he goes on to say that he who believes in me, the same works that I do, he will do also, and even greater works, because I go to the Father so that the Holy Spirit could come and not just be around us, but be inside of us. He who believes in me, the same things that Jesus did that we will do, and even greater things. I believe that God wants to call us out of a place of just being followers into a place of becoming disciples. He wants to call us out of a place of being confused about who we are into a place of fully understanding and comprehending that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Who here has ever heard of a preacher by the name of John G. Lake? John G. Lake was an incredible man of God, saw the Lord do many mighty things through his life. He puts it this way. He says this, in the same way that Jesus was able to say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, so too should the Christian be able to say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Christ. That's not blasphemy. That's the gospel. All of creation is waiting to find Christ in you. All of this world, they don't even know it, but they're looking to see Jesus. They're wanting to see Jesus, and God's plan and God's design is that they would find Jesus in you and me. So it happened one day when Philip and Nathanael were down in the markets, and the Bible says there was some Greek believing Jews there, and they came to them and recognized that they were Jesus' disciples. And they said, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went, he got Nathanael, they went to Jesus and said, and told Jesus what happened. "We met these guys in the market and they told us, Jesus, they told us that they want to see you." And Jesus begins to tell them, he says that unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Who was the one that was heading to death? Jesus Christ. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. What is Jesus saying? Philip and Nathanael, I'm telling you the truth that right now they can only see me in this one body. But I tell you the truth, there's a time coming when God is going to plant one son into the earth and many sons are going to be born. That one grain of seed is going to reproduce after its own kind and many sons and daughters, the firstborn among many brethren. God is calling us, friends, out of a place of complacency. God is calling us out of a place of compromise. God is calling us out of a place of mere Christianity and stepping into the fullness of the life of Jesus Christ. If we don't understand the truth about the Father has been revealed through Jesus and we don't see the truth about who we are, then we don't know what we have to give away. And you walk up the street self-conscious, thinking, you know, beating yourself up maybe, seeing yourself falling short, seeing yourself according to the flesh, walking past people who are hurting and broken, looking to see Jesus. And because you don't see Jesus in you, you don't know who you are and what you have to give away. That's why the devil works so hard to make us self-conscious and living for ourselves. In fact, I said it on Friday night that Jesus said that if anyone desires to come after me, he must first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. The reality is that until we have come to the end of ourselves, we're actually not even truly following Jesus. We've just prayed a prayer to go to a place called heaven when we die. Instead of understanding that we can die now through baptism into Christ, Romans 6 tells us, so that we can walk in newness of life. I already died with Christ through baptism. The person that I once was doesn't even exist anymore. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 tells me, if anyone is in Christ, he is a brand new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things, everything has become new. And now all things are of God. I already died and now I've been born again, created in the image of God. That person who was once a slave of sin, that person who was once under the bondage of Satan, of sickness, of sinfulness and death and destruction, that person doesn't even exist anymore. Now I become a son, born in the image and likeness of my Father, with the joy and the privilege of living a life that looks like heaven on earth. A life where I can walk in freedom from sin, victory over darkness, where I'm not being crushed by life and circumstances and devils, where I'm not caught up in cycles of sin, but instead God uses me to crush Satan under my feet. There is so much more to Christianity than what we've been led to believe. There's so much more to Christianity than what we've experienced. I'm just getting warmed up. I'm just getting started. And I believe this morning that God wants us to call us out of that place of ignorance, out of that place of apathy, out of that place of bondage into freedom. Romans chapter 8, when it talks about creation, it talks about creation being in bondage, and creation is yearning to step into the freedom, the liberty of the children of God. If you look into your heart, if you look into your life, ask yourself this question: am I really walking in freedom? I'm going to finish on this point, and I'm going to give a call to response in a minute. I want you right now, I want each of us to look into our heart, look into our lives, and ask ourselves that question. Am I walking in victory? Am I walking in victory over sin, or is sin victorious over me? Am I walking in the footsteps of Jesus, Or is my life under the heel of the enemy? The reality is that God cannot set people free through your life so long as your life isn't free. If we've submitted ourselves to things and allowed the devil and demons to get authority over us, then we're not in a place that we can see and release people out of demonic bondage. God is calling us into true freedom, to victory. This is what I want to do right now. I want to pray. I want to minister over people. And I want to make this call right now. I want to ask you, if you want to step into the more, if you want to step into a greater understanding, a greater Christian life experience, if you want to step into greater freedom and victory than what you have currently lived, then I want you right now just to stand your feet and I'm going to pray for you. Right now, the Spirit of God is here. There is grace in this room. Some of us have found ourselves in places of compromise. Some of us have yielded our bodies even unto sin. And today, the Spirit of God is here to set people free. Some of us in this room might even be under bondage of Satan or of darkness. So right now, I'm going to pray for you. And the Spirit of the living God is going to come upon every single person who is standing right now. So Father, I just thank you, Lord, for everyone standing in this room. Father God, I thank you for the humility in standing right now. Father, your word says in James that you resist the proud, but you give grace to the humble. So right now, I bless your humility. I bless your stand right now. And Father, I just pray right now, Holy Ghost, I just call down fire right now, the fire of the Holy Ghost from heaven to come upon every soul standing right now. Spirit of God, just move right now through this place. Right now, I speak to every devil and demon in this room right now. Satan, I'm speaking to you in Jesus' name. I take authority over you right now, evil spirits. I bind you right now in the name of Jesus. Right now, any demons that are in this room afflicting people, I command you, you loose them right now and you let them go in Jesus' name. Be free right now in Jesus' name. Those of us who have been in bondage of sin, right now, I just command freedom to come right now. I break off every yoke of the enemy. I break off every yoke of sinfulness right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Cycles of sin, I break it in Jesus' name. Selfishness, Father, as we yield ourselves to you right now, I just thank you that grace is released to break selfishness off of us. Father, I pray for those who are standing, Lord, because they're thankful for what you've done, but they know that there's more. They know there's more to this Christian life than they've seen or heard or experienced. Father, I just pray right now that grace is released in this room, that you would draw them into those greater things. Father, I pray right now, Lord, that you would just move with your Spirit. I just thank you for the baptism of the Holy Ghost right now. Mass baptism upon every soul. Holy Ghost, I just pray, come right now. And I declare over everyone standing, be filled. Be filled. Receive. Receive the Holy Spirit right now in Jesus' name. Be baptized. Be baptized in the Holy Ghost right now. Right now in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for a release right now of the gifts of your Holy Spirit right now. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you would help us to see the truth about who you are and to understand the truth about who we've become as your sons and as your daughters. Lord, that you would help us to realize what we have already been given and that, Lord, we would find ourselves in a place of freedom. Freedom. Freedom right now. I just declare freedom in this room and that in that place, Lord, that we would be able to give away what you've given us. Freely you have received, now freely give, Jesus said in Matthew 10. Thank you right now, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just pray right now, I ask that you would, this last prayer right now, Father, that you would deposit a gift of hunger, a gift of hunger in this room. If you're hungry for Jesus, just tell him right now. If you're hungry for the Holy Spirit, just tell him right now. Are you satisfied with what you've got, or do you want more? In Acts, the disciples were filled with the Holy Ghost on more than one occasion, or are you just happy with yesterday's manna? Are you just satisfied with Sunday attendance, or do you want to walk in the fullness of Christ? Tell him right now. Father, I just pray, Lord God, that as people begin to profess and confess before you right now, I just pray, Lord, that you would deposit supernatural hunger in every heart right now, Father. Supernatural hunger, that we wouldn't be satisfied with yesterday's manna, but Lord, we would find ourselves awake in the middle of the night, hungering and thirsting for you, Jesus. Fill right now, in Jesus' name. If you can speak in tongues, I want to encourage you, just begin to pray in tongues right now. Father, just pray for those who haven't received tongues yet. Holy Spirit, I just pray you'd loosen their tongue right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. Father, I pray for tenacious faith, like the woman with the issue of blood, that we wouldn't be satisfied, that we wouldn't draw back, but Father, we would push through the crowd to just lay hold of your garment this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, so this is what we're going to do right now. We're going to pray and minister over people right now. I want to just ask before we do, brother over here on the guitar, what was your name, bro? Mel? Ramel. I just want to pray over you. I just saw you as you were worshiping. I heard the Lord say breakthrough. Breakthrough's coming to you. I believe that there's been challenges and things that you've been facing, but Jesus Christ is going to come and bring refreshing to you right now, okay? Father, I just thank you for Ramel, whatever it is that he's been going through, whatever it is that's come against him. Father, I just thank you for breakthrough right now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you just come and fill him afresh right now. Refreshing, refreshing, anointing come right now. Breakthrough in Jesus' name. Breakthrough in Jesus' name. I just see you've been, it's almost been like at a dead end. It's been at a dead end and you don't know which way to go and you don't know how to get out. But right now the Lord is coming with breakthrough. Breakthrough, and in the, by the Spirit of the living God, I just break that off of you right now in Jesus' name. I declare the victory of the Holy Spirit, the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ be upon you right now. Father, I just thank you for prosperity. Father, I just thank you for financial breakthrough, Lord, even in his job, in his income, whatever's going on. Father, nothing is impossible for you. I bless him right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This is, I just want to call out a couple of things right now. I felt like there are people, this is what I felt in the room, okay? I felt, I heard diabetes. Is there anyone here who has diabetes that wants to receive healing right now? I also saw with that, I don't really know how these things work, but I heard diabetes, and then just after that, I saw someone's foot, and I feel like that that they might be connected. So if someone has any kind of issue with their foot because of diabetes, just put your hand up, just give me a wave if that's you. Now, this might sound a little bit strange as well. I'm not a doctor, but I actually, after that, I heard ulcer. And I don't know if there's someone in here, I don't know if diabetes maybe can cause ulcer, maybe on your foot. Does that speak? Is there anyone here who has diabetes and an ulcer or something to do with your foot right now? The Holy Spirit just wants to heal you. So Father, if that's you, friends, and you have diabetes and you want to be healed, then just reach out your hand to Jesus right now. And this is what I want you to do. If you're around someone with their hand up, you're the body of Christ. You're the hands and feet of Jesus. Jesus said that these signs will follow those who believe. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. Not they might. There's no little asterisks. That's not unless it's blah, 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 blah. No, if you believe, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So if you have diabetes and you want to be healed, just lift up your hand really high. And when you've got someone with their hand on you, I want you to put your hand down. So there's a lady just here. Thank you as well. Put your hand up if that's you. And then we're going to pray, okay, together right now. Father, I just thank you right now for everyone in this room. Thank you, Jesus, who has diabetes. I speak to your bodies right now in the authority of Jesus' name. I command you bodies be healed, be healed, be healed right now in Jesus' name. Holy Ghost fire, come in right now and burn out diabetes. Every trace of diabetes, get out right now. Be healed right now in Jesus' name. Any conditions that it's caused, any pain in your feet or in your body right now, I command be made whole. Feet be healed. Any ulcers right now, I command you heal over instantly right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for every symptom, every pain of this diabetes being driven from their bodies in this moment. Thank you, Jesus. Now, this is what I want you to do as we pray for some other people. If you just receive prayer for diabetes, if you have a symptom or maybe there's something you couldn't do, maybe you had pain in your feet, then I want to encourage you, you don't have to do this. It's your choice, but I want to encourage you. I want you to test out your body, okay? I want you to test that thing out. If it was a thing with your feet, then I want you to try and do something that you couldn't do before. So I also saw a jaw. I just felt like there's someone here with a problem with their jaw. Maybe your jaw isn't closing properly or some kind of a jaw issue. Give me a wave. Wave your hand if you've got some kind of a jaw issue. Yup. Up the back there. Sure. Just wave. Give me a good wave right here. Like give a bit of emotion so I can see a lady up the front right now. Okay. So if you're around them, I want you to gather around them. Lay your hands on them right now. Believers, the kingdom of God is inside of you. Right, so let's give it away right now. So when we pray, Jesus said, this is how you pray. Speak to the mountain and command it to move. So you speak on behalf of the kingdom of God. You speak in authority right now. So we command these jaws be loosened right now in Jesus' name. Be healed right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Every trace of pain go. I command every muscle right now be loosened. There's something to do with bones. There's a bone thing with the jaw. Bones be healed right now. Be made whole right now. Brand new. Brand new. TMJ, I bind you. I command you get out right now. Jaws, we loosen you in Jesus' name. Just begin to open your jaw right now. Father, I just thank you for freedom. Freedom right now in Jesus' name, brand new, brand new. Peripheral neuropathy. So that's kind of strange sensation in your hands, in your feet, sometimes pain. Give me a wave if that's you, if you have some kind of peripheral neuropathy right now. Okay, thank you, Jesus. Yep, there's a couple of people in this room. So again, if they put their hand up, I want you to pray for them right now. There's a gentleman right down the back as well who needs prayer. There's a couple of gentlemen down there. Thank you, Jesus. Right now, we just command full function to come back into these bodies. Right now, in your extremities, I command life come. Resurrection life come into your bodies right now in Jesus' name. Peripheral neuropathy, no more. Numbness, go. I command feeling, sensation to come back in right now. Pain, go. Tingling, go right now. I see fire come in right now. I see feet. I see fire coming into people's feet as well right now. Fire of God come into bodies right now. Fire of the living God, burn that stuff out in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to pray right now, come against cancer. You know, Cain shared a little bit of my testimony. I had brain cancer. According to the doctors, I shouldn't have been alive right now. I had emergency surgery and follow-up treatment. But even with that treatment, the doctors were like, there's nothing that we can do for you. And so I had that, and I told the doctors every time I'd go in for a meeting, I said, look, this might sound crazy to you, but I know that I'm already healed. And I know you've got your scans, but I'm telling you, one of these days, these scans are going to tell you what I already know to be true, and that's that I'm healed. One day I came into an appointment, the doctor looked at my scan, and the doctor said to me, Josh, whatever you are doing, it's working. Keep doing it. because this thing is almost all gone. And I've never seen this happen before. The very next time I went in for my next appointment and every trace was completely gone. Now I stand before you completely cancer-free, and there are literally doctors all around the world looking at my scans who are saying to me, all these doctors, we've never seen this before. We've never, in like 20 years, 30 years of medicine, we've never seen this happen, okay? So yes, I had treatment. I love doctors, I love nurses, I'm not against medicine. It's a blessing from God, but even having that, they're like, look, there's no hope for you. So God did above and beyond that, okay? So if there's anyone here that has cancer in your body right now, I want you to wave your hand to me right now. Okay, so there's a few people. So just wave your hand right now. Now this is what I want to ask you right now. Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be cancer free? You want to be cancer free? All right. So you're going to be cancer free right now in Jesus' name. I just declare over everybody in this room, every single cancerous cell, I take authority over you in the mighty name of Jesus, and I crush you in Jesus' name. Every tumor in this room, cancerous and benign, I crush you right now in Jesus' name, and I drive you out of their bodies. Be gone right now. Bodies, I declare resurrection life come in right now. Resurrection life and power right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. I just see cancerous cells. I see tumors popping and disappearing right now, just vanishing out of people's bodies. Father, I just declare that what the enemy has stolen from them, Lord, I pray that, Lord God, you would make the enemy repay right now in Jesus' name. I declare over your bodies full function. Full function in Jesus' name. Lord, whatever the part or the parts of their bodies that have had cancer, I just thank you right now for a transplant, Lord. I thank you for an organ transplant right now, that Jesus, you would give them your organs right now. You would give them your body. Just as we eat the bread when we have communion, that's what that is we're receiving the body of Christ. Father, I just thank you for replacing, Lord, those damaged organs right now with brand new organs, brand new tissue, brand new bones right now. Bones and blood, brand new. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for every symptom leaving them in this moment. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Is there a Jack or a Jackie in this room? Sorry? Jack? Okay. I'm like, Jack, Jackie, Jack. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just thank you for Jack. Father, I just thank you, Lord God, for your hand upon his life. Jesus. Father, I just thank you for the capacity that you have placed within him. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just thank you. Jack, I see you like God has given you a Ferrari. God has given you a Ferrari, like six-gear, high-performance vehicle. And you've been driving, you've been enjoying this vehicle, but I see it's like you've been in third gear. And God wants to take you into top gear and top speed. So Father, I just thank you for what you've placed on Jacques's life right now, Lord. I just thank you, Lord God, for what you've done. And I bless him right now, Lord God. In Jesus' name, I just pray, Lord, for fresh anointing to come right now. Fresh anointing from heaven, Lord, that you would give him, Lord God, not just an upgrade, but you would help him, Lord, to step in to the fullness of what you've given him. Father, I thank you for anointing his hands, anointing his voice. Father, I pray that great boldness would come upon him, Father. Great boldness, Lord, that he wouldn't hold back, that he wouldn't draw back. Father, I just call out right now, out of Jacques, I call out the kingdom of God. I call it out, the gifts that God has placed within you. I call them out to the surface right now in Jesus' name. Open up your mouth, lift up your voice to the Lord, and the Lord is going to fill it. The Lord is going to take you beyond what you've experienced before. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, this is what I want to do before I hand over, if it's okay, Pastor. I want to pray one corporate prayer for everyone else who needs healing in their body right now, if I can do that. I want to pray for you, okay? Do you know that it's just as easy for Jesus to heal your soul as it is for him to heal your body, okay? Some of you have pain, heartache in the depths of your soul, and the Holy Spirit wants to come in and bring freedom and healing right now. All right, so if you need healing in your body or in your soul, then I want you to lift up your hands to heaven right now, and I'm going to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. I've seen the Lord do so many radical miracles just like this, okay? So I don't have to put my hand on you. The Holy Spirit's going to touch you. I don't have to know what's wrong with you. God knows. I just have to know what He's made right. So Father, I thank you for everyone right now with their hands raised. Holy Spirit, I just thank you that you just come upon them right now with power. Power and authority right now. I release right now the exousia authority of Jesus Christ, the dunamis power of the kingdom of God upon everyone with their hands raised right now. I speak even into the depths of your soul and I declare healing right now. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would come in like a mighty river, that river of life would just be diverted in the heavens right now, and that river of life would come right now like a waterfall into the depths of their bodies, into the depths of their souls. I just declare healing and wholeness right now in Jesus' name. Everybody in this room be healed. Everybody in this room be made whole in Jesus' name. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you give it to them right now as they've got their hands raised. I just thank you, Lord, that you just give it to them right now. It is yours in the name of Jesus Christ. Every soul in this room that needs healing, Father, I just thank you for bringing wholeness right now. Holy Ghost, that you would touch them. Pain, depths of pain in your heart, even those who have suffered with pain, even from childhood, I just declare over you wholeness, wholeness in your soul, a whole soul in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.